This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Maybe you have been having one too many senior moments. You can't find your car keys, you can't remember a name here and there, and you're wondering if this is just plain old aging or if you might be in the early stages of Alzheimer's. There are some tests doctors can do to try and figure it out, but there really is nothing definitive. Well, that may be changing. Researchers announced this week that they have a new blood test that could help doctors diagnose those in the very early stages of Alzheimer's. Joining me now to talk more about it is my guest, Tony Weiss-Corray, is an associate professor of neurology at Stanford Medical School and a research career scientist at Veterans Affairs in Palo Alto. He joins us by phone. Thanks for talking with us, Dr. Weiss-Corray.
Thank you. Hi.
Let's talk about you took blood samples of people with Alzheimer's and people without, and you're able to see which people had it just by analyzing their blood?
Yeah, that's basically what we did. And initially, when we started this together with Sandeep Ray almost 4 years ago, we had sort of the naive idea that we might be able to see changes in blood proteins that would reflect the changes that are going on in the brain. And we started to analyze increasing numbers of samples, and we indeed found that there are differences between specific proteins that cells use to talk to each other between people who are healthy and have good cognitive function and people with the disease.
Mm-hmm. And how good a correlation was there?
So what we found in the study that we have now presented and published is that we can, with roughly 90% accuracy, say if a person at the mild to moderate stage of Alzheimer's disease has the disease or not. Hmm. And this was accomplished by using statistical tools that first look in what we call a training set at a number of samples where the statistical method knows which patients, which samples are Alzheimer's and which are controls. And then we use blinded samples, and we use the information from the first set to then predict if is a sample an Alzheimer's or a control. And roughly 90% of the times, the prediction was made correct and agreed with the clinical diagnosis that the doctors have made.
Does this mean that if you did a screening of the population in general and found these proteins in the bloods of these people, that they might unknowingly have Alzheimer's disease?
That is a much more difficult question. So the patient group that we have here and the controls are roughly 75 years old. I think that's the average that we had. So the prevalence or the frequency of the disease in this old group is much higher than, let's say, you would go out to just screen 60-year-old people. So the question becomes more and more difficult the earlier you want to apply such a test.
Mm-hmm. So you might then create an age limit or a cutoff where you might apply the test?
That's probably what one would have to do. However, we're also working on finding factors that might actually associate with age itself so that we would see what the changes are that occur with age in these similar factors, and then also try to push the limit of where the test is sensitive to detect the disease back earlier and earlier. And in fact, the second part of our study really does that by looking at people who have just memory complaints. Mm-hmm. And ask the question, can we tell in such a group of people which ones will develop the disease a few years later. So sort of trying to detect the earliest signs of the disease with this blood test, and that seems to be possible indeed.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-989-8255, what would be some of the early signs of those diseases, of the disease that you could detect with the test?
So right now, what the doctors are doing, and this is really a diagnosis that is restricted to sort of specialized centers, we call this mild cognitive impairment. This is a condition where people probably realize that even though they, as we all get older, we sort of forget certain things. It's maybe harder to remember names. But at a certain stage, these people really have what they complain about is clear memory problems, and they go to the doctor, and the doctor does a number of different tests with asking questions, family history, and all kinds of different memory tests to then conclude that this is not yet Alzheimer's disease, but it is definitely an early stage of a memory problem, and they came up with this term, mild cognitive impairment.
Mm-hmm.
A certain proportion of people with this diagnosis develop Alzheimer's disease as they get older. So it is a population that seems to be at risk to get the disease, or at least has the earliest signs of Alzheimer's disease. Mm-hmm. However, not everybody in this group is developing Alzheimer's. Some patients will develop related dementia, such as frontotemporal dementia, and yet others have maybe just a severe depression, and they don't have Alzheimer's at all.
What's interesting is that in all of the studies here that I've read of, that you're talking about, nothing was mentioned about, you know, the tangles and the knots that occur in the brain that are typically used as diagnosis for Alzheimer's postmortem-wise.
Yes.
You know, is that something? So you've discovered something totally different.
Yeah. So what we're looking at is sort of an imbalance of cellular communication. We call this. So we have this this idea that first of all, there is a communication between the brain and the periphery, and with the immune system, maybe in particular, that we know from animal studies, for example, that there are cells from the blood that seem to go into the brain, and some of these are, you could call them garbage collectors. They're macrophage-type cells that can eat up stuff. And it has been proposed recently that the brain, as it degenerates in these Alzheimer mouse model, mm-hmm. is able to attract some of these garbage collectors to the brain and helps them to remove the amyloid and that stuff that accumulates
right,
in the
right.
brain. So having with this idea, with this concept, what we argued is that we would be able to find factors now that cells can send out to attract these garbage collectors, but also maybe other disruptions in the communication between cells, in the cellular crosstalk. And so what we think, what we are doing is we're basically assessing sort of the changes in the physiological, in the normal state in the communication between cells. Mm-hmm. And when we look now at these specific factors that that we find to be changed, we can infer again and make new hypotheses of what processes, what biological processes might go wrong in the disease. So it can also help us to better understand the disease, is what we're hoping.
Mm-hmm. So that there might be some intervention somewhere
in that
process.
What we're hoping is to look now at the same factors that we discovered to be different in patients with Alzheimer's disease, to go to the animal models and see, do we find similar changes, and then test if we restore the levels that either reduced or increased, if we restore them to normal, if we can have an effect on the disease in the mouse models. And that could hopefully identify new targets and help us hopefully in the future to find treatments.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk to us about this.
Thank you.
Dr. Tony.
Pleasure.
You're welcome. Dr. Tony Weiss-Corre, Associate Professor of Neurology at Stanford Medical School and Research Career Scientist at Veterans Affairs in Palo Alto.